Matthew chapter 11, and we'll start reading verse number 28. And that's something you've known since a child. If you will, let's stand together. And let's look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. The Bible said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That means with a heavy load upon you. Come unto him, a heavy load. And he said, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'd like to pull out a little phrase out of verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you," and I want you to look at these three words. Here's what we're going to deal with tonight. Learn of me. Learn of me. You can be seated. And let's pray again. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the opportunity we have to call upon your name. Now, Lord, we need a fresh touch. Lord, we thank you for all the other times you've laid your hand upon us. And Lord, spoke to us and dealt with our heart and give us something from the Word of God. But Lord, we're coming back to the table again tonight, and we're just as hungry as we've ever been. Lord, we need something tonight just as much as we ever have. And so I pray you'd open heaven and spread the table for us. And Lord, as we begin to feast off the riches of your grace, God, that we might take it and apply it to our heart and life. And may we say it's been good to be into the Lord's house. When we leave this building tonight, thank you, Lord, for the singing and the spirit in the church already. Lord, for the comfort and the feeling of God in our heart that we've already experienced. But now I pray, God, you'd feed us from your table. Touch our hearts, and in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. Learn of me. Jesus said, learn of me. There's some other places in the Scriptures, like Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Approved unto God, by the way. I didn't mean to leave that out. Amen. The Bible teaches us to learn of me, Jesus said. Paul said, "Study." David said, "Hide the word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against God." Now, that's saying it different than what David said it, but he said, "I hide the word of God in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then we read John said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." Then we read in the Word of God this Scripture, Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," he said, "think on these things." Now this is on the subject of learn of me. Then Solomon coming along, and in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, he said, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." And throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God is teaching us to study, to learn, to search, and acquire the wisdom of God. Amen. And I thank God for it. Now turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Hold your place, but go to the book of Deuteronomy, and let's go to the fourth chapter. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book. Amen. And we'll look at the fourth chapter. I could just read these to you, but I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse number 10. Just to show you tonight that the Lord is on track when he's saying, learn of me. Learn of me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 10. Amen. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 10. He said, "Specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord in Horeb." He teaches us, going on through it, he said, "When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may" what? Learn He said, to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. He wants us to learn what? Learn the fear of the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of knowledge. Amen. Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. When we get to chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy, and actually we find that the book of Deuteronomy is the law given again, and actually that's what the book's about, the law being given again. Looking in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, let's read the first 8 or 9 verses. In verse 1 it said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, amen, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear. See, we done talked about that in chapter 4, verse 10. Fear the Lord thy God. To what? To keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be what? Prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now might I say this, and we'll read another verse or two. I want to say this, that has not changed. Amen. Somebody said, that's the law. Law has been fulfilled. It has not been destroyed. Amen. What is the first and great commandment out of the New Testament? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, body, and soul. Amen. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says in verse number 6, he said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt what? Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What's he saying? God is saying we want the Word of God ever present, ever before us, that we might walk by them, keep the precepts, live according to the Word of God. And not only that, if we'll live by it, then turn around and teach it to our children, and that they might teach it to their children and their children's, our children's children. Amen. That they might keep it before us. Now going back to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now let me ask you this. Who is the teacher here? Who's saying these words? How many has got a red-lettered Bible? Is those in red? Amen. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I want you to learn of me. Learn of Jesus. He is the teacher. Amen. Keep that in mind as we look at this. Now in the schoolhouse and under teaching, when we go to school, we're not going to learn any more than the teacher knows if we learn as much as they do. And in our modern day, we're not going to learn but what they know and what they teach us. And they don't know everything, and they don't know all about they need to know about, amen, things. So we're going to come short. But when Jesus is the teacher, we're going to know and learn all that we need to know. He's got the answers for everything. Amen. He can teach us like nobody can teach us. And I thank God for it. And on top of that, teachers may teach you wrong. But this teacher, Jesus, will not teach you wrong. It'll always be right. Thank God for that. Now, how does he teach us? He teaches through two things. Through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. In Matthew 11, he was before them presently, in front of them, and he was teaching them personally. He was the teacher in front of them. But today he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now we have a copy, a full copy. Thank God for a full copy of the Word of God. Amen. Here in chapter 11, there was not a full copy. There was still some more to be written. Amen. But now we have a completed Bible. Amen. Not looking to get any more added to it. No way at all. We got enough. Amen. Matter of fact, we got more than what we need to get us through. We just need to learn what we've got. How are we going to learn it? We're going to learn it by reading, by studying, and by the Spirit of God to teach us. Amen. Now, Jesus is the greatest of all teachers. No teacher like Jesus, right? Amen. You'll not argue with me there. I know you won't. Brother, he'll teach us what's right. Now, he can teach us. Now, I want to give you a little outline. Some things that Jesus can teach us and will teach us if we'll let him teach us through this blessed book. Amen. We're just talking about him being a teacher tonight. We know he's the Savior. We know he's saved. But I'm talking about tonight, you and I as believers, as born again. What will he teach us? If you let Jesus teach you, here's some things. Jot them down. First of all, he will teach us to know God. Amen. He'll teach us to know God. You say, well, I've been trying to teach my kids to know God. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, God, through the Spirit of God tonight and through the Word of God and through Jesus, brother, will teach us to know God. There's a lot of people don't know God. Now, how does he do it? He does it in the textbook. What is the textbook? The divine library. The 66 books of the Bible. Amen. That's God's library. Now, when God wants to teach us, he has to do like the other teachers. He has to get the right curriculum. He's got to get the right textbooks. And thanks God, he has got the right textbook. Amen. I'm glad he can teach on all levels. This Bible tonight is good for the kindergarten class. Amen. If we got any kindergartners in here spiritually, God has something for you. Amen. You say, well, I'm 40 years old. You may be in the kindergarten. I don't know. Amen. Well, then we think about grammar school. We got all we need in this book tonight for the grammar school Christians. Amen. Now, I don't know what class you're in. I don't know where you've graduated, but I think I'll find a class for you tonight. Amen. We'll look at this. Then we got to what we got. What do we have now? We got junior high. Is that next? All right, we got junior high Christians. And the Word of God is good for them. God can get on your level wherever you are. Thank God. Amen. Now you go to the fifth grade. You can't teach the fifth grade to first graders. You can't teach 12th grade to kindergartners. Amen. And 12th grade wouldn't like a kindergarten class either. They'd be bored. But God knows your level. Then he knows how to teach you on the high school level. If you're a high school level Christian. Or if you're a college level Christian. Or if you're a postgraduate study. Amen. Some of you may think you've got there. You done been to college with Jesus. And you may think that you know enough now that you're postgraduate. You may think that you've done become a professional. And you don't need nothing else. You're a professional. Brother, for you tonight to think you're a professional, God still can teach you something from the Word of God. I do know one thing. Everybody in this building has not learned everything that you need to learn. He said, learn of me. I'll give you something to think about. The day you die, amen, you may learn something an hour or 15 minutes or 10 minutes before you pass over. Amen. You may get up in the morning and find out something that you didn't know. Everybody in this building learned something today. You may not admit it, but you're learning every day of your life. Amen. And then we might have another class in here tonight. And they're called scholars. You know what a scholar is? A scholar is somebody thinks he knows that he don't know. I don't believe I've ever met any Bible scholars. I've heard some been classified as Bible scholars. Said, as the Bible scholar so-and-so says, I don't believe there's such a thing as a Bible scholar. I believe we're all Bible students till the day we draw our last breath. And then when we draw our first breath in glory, you might classify yourself as a scholar then, but I don't think you'll go around bragging about it. Because then I believe we'll know as we are known. I believe we'll know everything there is to know. Amen. When we get the other side. You said, I think, you think that? Yeah, I don't think some of us going to be here over there knowing partial and another knowing more. There's a lot of folks know a lot more than me, but get over there, bless God, I'll know you just as much as you know me. Amen. We'll know all of it. Nobody have to introduce me to Moses. Amen. Nobody have to introduce me to Abraham. Nobody have to introduce me to anybody. I'll know them. Amen. Jesus don't have a welcoming committee in glory that's going to take us up and say, I want to introduce you to all the saints of God. I believe I'll know every single one of them, and they'll have a brand new name, and I'll have such a mind that I'll know all their names at the same time, and I won't have to study around and wonder. Sometimes I look at you and I can't get your name back, and I've called it for years. Amen. But when I get to glory, I won't have that problem. Amen? That's just wonderful to know that tonight. And I think about it. Well, you said, what else? Well, for you retirees that think you've done come so far that you can't learn, and we might have some here in the class tonight that says, hey, I'm like an old dog. You can't teach me no new tricks. I got news for you. God's got a Bible here. He said, learn of me. So listen, God's got something to teach you. Amen. Amen. I believe, first of all, he wants to teach us that there's God and how to know God. Amen. I believe there's enough education in all facets of life. And if you study the Bible, you'll have a well-rounded education. I say to all you young folks, you are to major on the Word of God. It's good to know geography, but study all the geography you can get out of the Bible. Amen. There's a lot of nuts tonight that's running up and down the country. They can't even figure out where the world come from and where man come from. And if you'll study the Bible, it'll settle it for you in the first two chapters of the Word of God. You won't have to read textbooks that thick and look at all those pictures of monkeys that's been being evolved. You just read two little chapters, the first chapter and the second. Matter of fact, if you don't read anything else but the first chapter, you're going to get enough to know that God made man and God made the world. Amen. Amen. And all the rest of it will just blow your mind of what God's been doing and improving it all ever since. And how man's been making a mess of it. Amen. And then so some of these folks that got scholars, they've been off and learned all that stuff. Took them years to learn that there was evolution. Took them years to learn that. And how long does it take you to read two chapters to find out the truth? Understand? So God has got something in it. We talk about all the facets of life. Amen. You study it. They said it took them for years. It was years before they ever found out that the earth was round. Y'all read in school how that they used to sail and they thought when they got to the edge of the earth it's going to just fall off. And they couldn't figure that out. But you're reading the Word of God and it talks about the earth being round. Amen. Out of the Word of God. I mean, you can look at all that. And brother, you can see the things and you can get an education. You can take somebody 8, 9, 10 years old that's been reading and studying the Word of God. Brother, they can be smarter spiritually tonight than a bunch of folks that's been to college and philosophers that have spent their life and learned it and still don't know how to get from earth to heaven. Thank God, I'm glad I got a Bible. Jesus said, learn of me. Now what's he going to teach us? He's going to teach us tonight that he's going to teach us to know God. Now there's a lot of people don't know God, but I'm glad I know God. Where did I get that information? Got it from the Word. Jesus taught me that through the Spirit of God. And the Word of God, I know God. There's a lot of people don't know God. Amen. The multitudes of this world, multitudes of this earth, the majority of the United States of America does not know God. The majority are on their way to hell. They don't know what the truth is. They've got all kinds of ideas. Listen, we wouldn't be having trouble having to take the Ten Commandments off the walls. We wouldn't have no trouble taking the Bible out of school. Brother, we'd have all that tonight if this country, the majority of this country, knew there was God. And if a new God in the free pardon of sin. I don't only just know about God. I'm glad I know God. Amen. Some folks know about it. Well, isn't it amazing about this book? You can read a novel or let's say a geography book. You can read any kind of old book. Read it two times, three times. And by the time you read it two or three times, guess what? You're going to say, I know that book pretty good. And you're not going to even, and after a while, you read an old book about two or three times. And guess what you're going to do? I don't want to read that book no more. I got some books down there on my shelf that I got when I was young and started preaching. And I read them a time or two. And then when I think about it, I remember some things that's in them books. I got it marked, And I have no desire to go back and read them books again. I'm sure if I picked them up, I'd probably pick up a few more things about it. But I felt like I mastered the subject that they was trying to get to me at that time. But I can read the Bible 100 times. And I go back and it's still just fresh, and I'd learn every time I read it. And when I get through, I still got a desire. Matter of fact, you read it 100 times and you have a more desire to go back and read it again. You know why some of you don't have no desire to read the Bible? You ain't even read it much. You'll fall in love with the book and it'll fall in love with you. And it'll get to clinging to you like a friend. And you can't turn it loose. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Amen with that. Now, Jesus, what will he teach us? He said, learn of me. He's the teacher. First of all, he learns us to know God. Secondly, put this in your notes. He will teach us to love God. He'll teach us to love God. Now you said, how will he teach us to love God? Will it be by showing us his power? I mean, you can read in the Bible and see how he's powerful, how he spoke the world into existence. But that's not how God teaches us tonight to love him. You say, well, what else? Well, he talk about his riches. You think about the cattle of 1,000 hills. And David said, I lift my eyes unto the hills, and whence come my help? And you think about all that God does and how great he is. And that's not how God's going to teach us to love him. How's he going to do it? You talk about his wisdom, and his wisdom is great. Thank God for his wisdom. He's all wise. But it's not his wisdom he's going to teach us how to love God. How's he going to do it? He's going to take us to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's going to walk us through Jesus leaving glory and coming down here wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, and giving his life on the cross of Calvary, going to the grave and arising victorious over death, hell, and the grave on the third day, ascending back into. And he's going to show us his love by what he has done for us. And by showing us his love, we're going to start loving him. Amen. You believe that? Amen. He continually shows us his love by not putting us out of our misery. Amen. Think about that a minute. When you sin against God, the Bible said the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God's what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, as I was studying the Word of God and looking at this thing tonight, I sin and you sin. I don't want to. You don't desire to. Don't want to either. But I want to tell you, we sin, and in spite of all that, God could wipe us off and say, that's it. But God's mercy, every time we sin, he looks at us and said, I forgive you, when we confess it before him. He don't do it till we confess it though. Amen. We repent, he forgives. And brother, God is long-suffering toward us. Amen. Every single day. And he proves his love time and time again. But I want to tell you, here's how I know tonight that he loves me. He said in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Praise God. That's it right there. Now how does Jesus learn us? He said, learn of me. How does he teach us tonight to love him? Showing us how he loves us. Thirdly, he will teach us tonight to hate sin. He'll teach us to hate sin. I believe every Christian tonight hates sin. I mean, some of you hate a little bit of it. Some of you hate some sins. Amen. I could name a few and you said, I despise that one. I could name some others. You said, well, I don't know about that one. Amen. Man has a problem with it, but the Lord don't. He'll teach us not only to despise sin, but he'll teach us to shun it. The Bible said we ought to shun the very appearance of evil. All right? I'm going to give you 3 good reasons why you ought not to play around with sin. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here's 3 reasons why you ought never to allow sin even to enter in, to even think about it in your mind. Get rid of it when it comes up. Number one, because it's hard to stop once you ever get involved in it. Sin ever takes over in your life, it'll start controlling you. And you allow sin to get in any shape, form, fashion, whatsoever, any kind of old habit, any kind of thing. And I'm talking to you believers tonight. I'm talking to believers who are saved by the grace of God. I'm not talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers, they are sold to sin. They're involved in it. They're bound by sin. But the saints of God, we're to come out from among them and be separate. And brother, we're at a place where we're not to have old habits that God despises from the Word of God. Amen. And so what we do, we want to shun and abstain from any sin whatsoever, because it's hard to stop once you ever get started. Amen. Lie one time, it'll be easy to lie again. Steal one time, it'll be easier to steal again. Understand what I'm saying? So it's hard to stop. Secondly, ought to leave it alone because it's dangerous to your testimony. Amen. It's dangerous to your testimony. You catch yourself involved in sin, next thing you know, it's a black mark on your testimony. It's a black mark on your character. It's a black mark on the church. It's a black mark on the Word of God to the world. They see sin. And this world sees too many of the Christians stumbling and falling today. Or leave it alone. Thirdly, it's not all that, but it's disgraceful. It'll run you through the mud and bring you down to nothing. To where nobody will have any respect for you. Nobody will have any confidence in you. I'd hate to walk up and down the country that I'm living in tonight and people wouldn't have any confidence in me to pray for them. I'd hate to have it. They wouldn't have no confidence in me to preach to them. It bothers me. Listen, sin is disgraceful. Or leave it alone. Or leave it alone. Now remember, God put the law on two tables of stone, right? Amen. One of the tables of stone, the first half of the commandments nearly, were God-oriented. They were toward God. If you broke any one of them, it was sin against God. The other table was sins against man. And guess what? I've noticed that man seems to want to take the second set of tables and pull it out in the front, just a little bit better. They want to stack them on top of the others. And we seem to have more problems with the sins that we commit against men than we do against God. We'll criticize somebody for committing adultery. We'll criticize somebody for stealing. We'll criticize somebody for lying. We'll criticize somebody for coveting. But yet we don't say too much about it when we find people that are taking God's name in vain and worshiping idols and everything else under the sun. And we don't put that as very high. But I want to tell you something, brother. Our problems are with the first ones. If we don't put God first in our life and worship Him in the Spirit and in truth and keep Him number one in our heart, brother, we're going to sin against man automatically. But if you'll get God first in your life, you won't have to worry about the sins against man. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying tonight? We seem to be concerned about the things that are against man instead of things that are against God. Amen. I just appreciate what the Lord does and how He shows us what we need to do. And God shows us we need to recognize sin and we need to get rid of it. So when He teaches us, He's going to teach us to hate sin. We ought to despise it. Number four, hurriedly, He will teach us to serve God. These are just some plain, simple things. I'm just a plain, simple preacher. Listen, He'll teach us to serve God. And somebody said, I want to serve Him with all my heart. First thing you do, and I want to say this to everybody in this building, you can't serve God until you know God. Amen. You can't serve God if you're not saved. But once you're saved by the grace of God, God teaches you how to serve Him. Amen. We don't come to church to serve Him. We go out from the church to serve Him. Amen. We serve Him in our daily walk, in our daily talk, on our public jobs, in our home, down at the grocery store, and everywhere else we go. We come to church to worship Him, and we won't worship Him right. We won't serve Him right. Amen. So we need that worship. I always stress that and get it in our mind. But the Lord wants to show us how to serve Him. And it's a responsibility for every child of God to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Serve Him with thankfulness. Serve the Lord amen, the best you can with all your ability tonight. Be what God wants you to be in the public eye, amen, for the glory of God. Not only that, but Jesus, number five, he'll teach us another thing that a lot of people don't know about, and that is to enjoy God. Now let me share this with you just a little bit, and I'm giving you some practical teaching. And there's a lot of people don't enjoy God. When you mention God, the first thing they think of is God is a tyrant with a whip in his hand that does not want us to be happy. And the reason they think that is because there's things in their life that they know they're doing wrong and it's against God and they don't want to give them up. Amen. Some people think that their parents are tyrants and they just don't want them to have fun. Amen. Just don't want them to have fun. Yes, sirree. There's somebody talking about raising kids the other day. Somewhere was a place of business was coming out, and they said that they had some, I know they had a daughter and some sons, maybe it's some daughters, but I know the daughter. And I said, what age? They said, one of them's 18, the other's, 13, I believe they said. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, I wouldn't trade places with them for nothing. Amen. Amen. You heard what I say about the 7-year tribulation hour. I tell parents that a lot of times. I said the 7 years of tribulation in your home will be when your kids turn 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. That's 7 years of it. 7 years of tribulation. And that woman, she said, I've been trying to teach them and I'm praying. And I said, well, one of these days they'll not forget what you taught them. It'll get better. Amen. And she said, I certainly hope so. I said, it will. I didn't want to tell her and break her bubble and tell her it might get worse before it gets better. But anyhow. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? When I look at the Word of God, they think God, many times Christians do, that God is a tyrant. Now let's just picture the ocean a minute. Did you know the ocean is the reservoir for your drinking water? Amen. You said, I thought we had springs and wells and we had fresh water sources all over the country and that is our drinking water. Your drinking water is off down yonder in the ocean. God so designed this world that way. That's why we got more water than we've got land. And God takes that water in His own little delicate way, and I don't understand all that I need to know about that, but I know a little bit enough to make me dangerous. That He reaches down and picks it up and puts it in the clouds, and He does it through the process of the sun and evaporation. It pulls it up into the clouds. Amen. You reckon that's why it got some salt in it? That salt, amen, kind of helps all that stuff along. Amen. You said, I can't drink ocean water. You drink it every day. You just have not stopped to think about God's purification and His method and ways of doing it. So He gets it, puts it in the clouds and, amen, them clouds that we had a little rain off of. I got to thinking the other day when I was thinking on this subject, I got to thinking, reckon where God picked that water up. It might have been way over yonder in the Pacific, but at this time they said it come up out of the Gulf. Amen. It comes. I don't know where it picked it, but that traveled a long way. God picked it up and carried it across the waves, come out over the air and dumped it out on your house. And stocked up all the rivers and the wells and the spring heads. I never have understood how in the world you could go up on the mountaintop, some of the highest places, and find water. Come down in the lowest valley and have to dig 500 feet and not find a drop. Have you ever figured that out? You never will. But that's God. And God takes that reservoir, that ocean, and brings it around and puts it where we need it. God knows how to supply my need and keep me with plenty of drinking water. Amen. Man can't figure all that out, you know. But that's what it is. And I look at it. So God's trying to teach us to enjoy God. What's that got to do with it? This. The reservoir for our drinking water is the ocean. But our reservoir for our joy is the glory world. Amen. Amen. Think about that just a minute. I got to thinking about it. I was reading on something that was talking about the compass. I don't know too much about a compass, but I do know one thing, that a compass always points one direction. What direction is it? Where?
North.
And if you've got a compass pointing north, amen. And God has already put that in the Bible. Take your Bible tonight and turn to over in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, please. Amen. And God's trying to teach us how we're going to get what we need. Amen. Psalm 48. Guess you know what we're going to do. I'm going to go to Psalm 48. Now look at this. Amen. Now we're going to sing that psalm. You remember how we sung it before? We sing it sometime. Let's do it now. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. It's Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Amen. Now what's he trying to say? The north. Where does God dwell tonight? In the sides of the north. Now God's got a compass. It's the Word of God. Where's he pointing? To the north. Glory to God. Amen. Praise his name tonight. So we find tonight that he'll teach us to enjoy God. And then the last one. He'll teach us to trust God. Amen. The Lord, he said, learn of me. What's he going to learn us? He's going to learn us. First we have to teach us. We're the one that does the learning. But God will give us the wisdom to learn. And what God is wanting to learn us and teach us tonight is to trust God. We fail. My faith gets weak. Your faith gets weak. We want to trust everything under the sun. We get in trouble. Guess what? We talk to our neighbors. We talk to our friends. We talk to our family. Instead of just getting on our knees and saying, Lord, I want to trust you. Show me what to do. Give me wisdom. Amen. God knocks some of you in the head and tell you exactly in black and white, and you'd still go talk to somebody else to see if it's all right to do it. That's about how we live, folks. That's about how we live. Well, I know God said it, but... Yeah, I know what's in the Bible, but you know, I'm just kind of... Well, if you know what's in the Bible, just obey God. It's better to obey God than to sacrifice. And so we know tonight that we just ought to obey Him. Trust Him. Won't you just trust Him? You said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Just trust God. Amen. Have you come this far? Amen. Trust in Him. Most of the time you trusted Him, didn't you? Amen. A part of the time you've trusted Him. Wouldn't it be good tonight that we just get to the place that we learn to trust Him? What's that old song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Amen. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Amen. Heads bowed tonight. Learn of me. Learn of me. Thank God tonight. Amen. He teaches. And I fail sometimes to follow the teaching. But tonight, just want to challenge your heart. Learn of me, he said. Amen. Right appropriate song. Let's stand. Thank you for coming tonight. Maybe God spoke to your heart. And you feel like there's something you need to do. Why don't you just walk down the aisle about here in the altar. Tell the Lord about it.